Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings. Welcome to another segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and we thank all of you for tuning in for this special edition of New Day. For those of you who tuned into us last night, then of course you know we indicated we would do a special edition today because it's very important that we keep you well abreast of what's going on, especially at this particular time in the state of Georgia as it pertains to our brothers who are locked down in that state and have taken a bold step, a bold stand, to make certain that modern-day slavery is not continued, especially in what we now see in the prison industrialized complex. Welcome to New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. Naturalisticness going to flow through these airwaves tonight. And as Robert Nestor Marley says, you must now listen very carefully. Again, my name is Empress Chi, and you are in tune to New Day Resurrection and Liberation Special Edition for this day, December 19th, 2010, as we get ready to approach another decade, as they say, and certainly we need to be approaching it with our eyes really open and also our ears very much in tune to the rhythms that is coming before us, those rhythms really of resistance. Before we go into tonight's program, as usual, we always give thanks and praises to our Creator and always cognizant, appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. Tonight's program is indeed a tribute and a salute to those brothers who are in those dungeons, in those so-called prisons in the Georgia area, but also to our brothers and sisters that are in these prisons throughout the U.S. Because what's going on right now in Georgia really is a representation of, the conditions, the human rights violations and so forth that's going on all over this country. Fortunately, it is now to a point where some believe, some feel, and some are demonstrating that action has to be taken. The voices must be heard. And, of course, recently, last week, I believe for 7 days, men stood up. And as a result, created a strike, if you might want to call it, certainly a protest. And that protest, of course, was to say no more. So what we're going to do, we're going to go to our live line. And with that said, we're going to talk with a sister who I'm sure many of you are familiar with. And if you're not, you just ought to be, especially if you're in tune to any kind of history. But this sister has been on the front line for many years and certainly in many, many kinds of ways. But also at this point in time, as it pertains to fighting the injustices that we see and hear about and know about in this country, this prison industrialized complex, the new modern day slavery, well, right here in our faces. And this sister has been, again, on that front line fighting, making certain that those voices that we oftentimes cannot hear, do not hear, is in fact heard. We're talking about Sister Elaine Brown, former chairwoman of the original Black Panther Party, and certainly an activist personified, and certainly a sister who I recently had the pleasure to talk with and look forward to building with in the future. But this sister has been designated as one of the key spokespersons for what's going on in Atlanta, in Georgia, rather. And so what we want to do tonight, because we'd always like to make sure you get your information from us firsthand. And it's so important that you do, because you, too, are the voice for our people. We can't depend on regular media. We can't depend on mainstream news. We depend on you, our family. So you're the ones that will listen, carry this message, carry this information out, and let's continue on with the struggle. So without further ado, we're going to go to our live line, and joining us now is Sister Elaine Brown. Sister, are you there?
I am. How are you?
Oh, very good, sister, very good. Thank you for taking the time to join us tonight. I know your schedule is crazy, so we really appreciate you providing us with this update, because as I indicated earlier, it's so important that our people really know what's going on and can hear it from reliable sources. So, again, thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. You're absolutely right.
So we know that for 7 days, what is called now the historical prison strike took place. Tell our listeners a little bit about what happened and why.
Well, the why is pretty much the obvious, in the sense that these men are behind bars, and of course there are some women in prison in Georgia, but as well as in the United States, but all the people who were involved in this particular protest were the men in the men's prisons, and these men were obviously frustrated with the inhumane manner in which they've been treated, as they are in all the other prison systems of this country, which of course has the highest incarceration rate and the largest number of people incarcerated of any country in the world, including China and Russia and so forth. And so we have men who finally decided that one day they were just not going to work and not going to get up and do work for free and not have their human rights at least delineated, I mean, or at least acknowledged and therefore and recognized and addressed.
Mm-hmm.
So they organized a protest. It was originally to be a one-day work stoppage, or a strike, as we know in any labor movement, a strike, and that their demand was, in most cases of a labor strike, people want more wages, better benefits, better health, better working conditions, and in their case, basically they wanted the same thing, except in this case they wanted to be paid instead of being forced to work for free. They wanted greater educational opportunities. They were beyond the GED, which is all you can get. They wanted decent medical care, because they are clearly without any kind of medical care in any meaningful way in the prison. Nutritional meals, vocational training, access to their families, and just an end to cruel and unusual punishments for minor rules infractions, and they wanted justice in their parole decisions. Now, none of this is unreasonable.
That's
so
right.
This is not a shocking set of demands, like open the gates and let us in and get us an airplane to Cuba. This is people asking for very basic human rights,
mm-hmm.
Given that they are locked down and locked up and cannot get these things for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so they certainly deserve these things, and so they made a decision not to work the first day. The prison, some of the prisons got wind of this, which was inevitable, and they locked the prisons down, but in fact the men weren't coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But the first day there were almost 10 prisons involved in this work strike, which on the average prison at 2,000 men each is probably talking about 20,000 20,000 people.
Wow. Wow. Sister, you know, one of the things that we've talked about over the past couple of days, and before we go into, I think there was a meeting on Friday or Thursday that you were able to take place. But one of the things that have been raised, and we've been very concerned about it, and that is the media blackout, or shall we say whiteout, of this story. We found that all over the country, as far as, you know, the main, so-called main newspapers and radio stations and so forth, we heard nothing. Fortunately, because of so many social networks and independent media, the message and the information was able to get circulated. So what about now? Are you kind of gauging or seeing that finally it is starting to come to the mainstream a little more?
Well, before I talk about the media question, I just want to mention that probably the most immediately important thing was the fact that these men, many of them, were the response of the prison was a violent response.
Mm.
So while they were nonviolent in their protests and their refusal to work, they just simply said they weren't coming out of their cells. And it's kind of stupid to think, well, let me drag you out of your cell and try to beat you and force you to work. They refused to work. The men refused to work. And people, many of them were pulled out of their cells at Augusta State Prison, at Telfair and Macon. They were. They had the tactical squads go in. At Smith, they used K-9 units. They used tear gas. They did everything to get these men back to work. And so the men continued that. So that said, and then we want to talk about the demands, but that said, the media really did not report this story, but some did. So there were at least three stories in the New York Times, for example.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And there were some stories in the, I'm talking about the mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
There were some stories in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. But mm-hmm. as you say, in the main, there was a silence by the press. As a matter of fact, there was supposed to be a program on today at CNN, and they canceled that at the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly we can't expect the media, which is controlled by the government, which is controlled by the corporations, we can't expect it to be that, for them to do some other, step out and become something other than what we used to call the fourth estate or fifth estate, I can't remember which that term was,
mm-hmm.
meaning they're all part of the state apparatus that controls our lives. So we shouldn't even have an expectation that the mainstream media is going to address issues that concern black and oppressed people.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you'd be seeing a whole lot more little black girls up there who have been missing for a long time, or you hear the stories of black women who get raped, or you hear the story of black women who've gone missing, what have you, but you don't hear that. But in fact, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even hear about the war in Afghanistan or any of the other wars being waged by this country. So the media is a tool of the government, which is a tool of big business.
Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad you mentioned or you told us about, you know, what has happened, because I didn't even get a lot of the fact that, you know, these guards, these people have really attempted to create some form of violence when clearly, you know, this was a nonviolent effort, a nonviolent statement, but here and yet, you know, folks were being provoked to do something that, you know, would appear to be of some violent nature. So I'm glad that you were able to, you know, bring that point up and bring about some clarity. And again, it also helps us to see clearly why the media would not report it, because, one, to have people to know that it was nonviolent in the first place, that would probably defeat somebody's purpose. But, you know, again, we're thankful that we are able to get this information now and get it circulated.
Wonderful.
So there's a meeting that took place on, was it Thursday or Friday, with some of the prison officials?
Yes, on Friday. Well, right, we formed, and when I say we, a lot of people from around the country joined together on a conference call. We had sort of already formed a kind of loosely knit coalition, and ultimately we called ourselves the Concerned Coalition to Respect Prisoners' Rights,
mm-hmm.
Meaning to respect the fact that prisoners have rights even.
Mm-hmm.
So that coalition sort of designated some people have a meeting with the Department of Corrections officials as to where we wanted to go from here. Ultimately, even though they denied it, the Department of Corrections denied there was any violence or anything being used by their guards, and as though they weren't in combat boots and carrying pepper spray and assault rifles and what have you, the Department of Corrections denied there was any violence. But ultimately, we were able to convince the department that we needed to see for ourselves, and we wanted to send in a fact-finding group. And so, as far as I know, we are set to go into a prisoner two tomorrow and begin the interview.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Now, of course, a part of that coalition includes folks like Brother Bruce Dixon and Brother Richard Muhammad. So, family, these are some of the locations you can go to get some of the articles if you haven't seen them so far. And, of course, as Sister Elaine mentioned, there is a Facebook. And, Sister Elaine, give us that name again of the coalition.
The Facebook page is the coalition name, which is Concerned Coalition to Respect Prisoners' Rights. Concerned Coalition to Respect Prisoners' Rights. And you can also go on Black Agenda Report and find out, when you mention Bruce Dixon, you can go to the final call and find out some information, because the editor-in-chief, Brother Richard Muhammad, is very involved in assisting us in this effort.
And as a matter of fact, we'll have Brother Richard calling in approximately 20 minutes or so, so that he can kind of give us some insight into what's going to be featured in the final call this week, because there will be a feature story, of course, on this topic. We want to remind all of you, family, that the chat room is open. If you have some specific questions or comments that you want to post, feel free to do so. We're talking right now with Sister Elaine Brown, and we're talking about the prison strike slash protest in Georgia. Of course, the situation that we're talking about is one that we find all over the U.S., that being this thing that we call the prison industrialized complex and what many of us also call modern-day slavery. Okay, so what we want to kind of get to now is, Sister, what are some of the things that we can do, those of us who are concerned, those of us who want to be involved, what are some of the things that we could do to help?
Well, first of all, stay in touch through that Facebook page. But I think that right now it would be a good thing if people deluged the governor's office and the Department of Corrections director, commissioner rather, Brian Owens, the governor, Sonny Perdue, and demand that they sit down at the table with these brothers to discuss their legitimate grievances and how they might be resolved. I think if the more people that call the governor and the Department of Corrections, the better. I also think that you might want to do some secondary action by contacting the blacks who are the elected officials in the state of Georgia, who have in the main not come out for these brothers. The Georgia state legislators, the only two people came out to the meeting the other day with the commissioner, and that was State Representative Roberta Abdul-Salam and another state representative, Donzella James, and who wasn't able to be there but did send her envoy. The point is that, you know, we couldn't get any of the other elected officials out there. So I would think that if people want to do something, I would say call John Lewis's office. He's a congressman from the Atlanta area, and David Scott and any of the other the other elected officials, and ask them or demand of them to go and get involved, or ask them why they haven't gotten involved.
I know that's right. No, that's right. Now, one thing that I did see, and I guess you can give us some clarity on that, there is going to be a time period, kind of a wait period, to see if any of the demands are going to be met. Is that correct? Is that something else? Because it was kind of reported, but we didn't get clarity on it. But is there anything that you can comment in regards to that?
No, we definitely intend and will have a delegation going into the prison sometime early this week, coming week, to look into what the prisoners to interview the prisoners, as I indicated, mm-hmm. to get their ideas as to why they did what they did and what explain to us, and so we can look for ourselves to see what kinds of issues they're raising. But more importantly, there's the question of the concrete agenda that they have set, which is mm-hmm. jobs, education, health care, so forth.
And I think it's also important that we really make it clear that this is a real unified effort that's being brought before us. In other words, all of the inmates have agreed to participate in these actions and in doing so created an alliance with one another. I think it's very important that we allow our family listening audience to know and understand that, to really see how powerful this really is.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a very powerful moment. But the most powerful part is the demand for pay for work, because this goes to a longstanding question of whether people can be re-enslaved or enslaved mm-hmm. in the United States. And the 13th Amendment, while it abolished slavery, reserved some exception, but that exception wasn't prisoners. It was as a punishment for crime. And somehow people have decided that it's all right to force prisoners to work. Is not all right. As a punishment for crime means that if you go, if you get a drunk driving conviction, then the judge can say to you, well, you can go to prison or you can do a year of cleaning up the local park. Now, that would be involuntary servitude, but you will be able to go home at night and so forth and so on. So these brothers are already punished, so there's no particular reason to have them also work for free.
Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad you made that clarity, because we have some brothers and sisters who kind of flow in one of our legal or jurisprudence ciphers, and one of the questions was raised, was this a violation of the 13th Amendment, which did state something to the effect of abolishing slavery, but then somewhere else in the Constitution it talked about, except for when it's applicable to prison or you know, punishment. So I'm sure that's going to be an interesting debate as we proceed to hear that how you know, other folk are going to respond to that. So I'm really glad you raised that.
Yeah, okay.
All right, my sister, I know that you are on the move, and we had kind of said we wanted to not tie you up tonight because we know you're doing so much, but again, we want to thank you for bringing this information to us, and know that we're here. We're available. Fortunately, we are able to do a live broadcast at any time, and family, for those of you who know the show, let people know Sister Lane has been on tonight. If you missed the show tonight, all you have to do is go to the archives. It'll be right there at your convenience. Sister Lane, is there any final words you want to share with our family?
No, I just think that people need to raise this question all over the country and make those calls that I said, and also look at what's going on in your own communities. The majority of our people, black people particularly, know that cannot say that they do not know someone who is or has been in prison. Now, that's a disgrace, because of the prison population, nearly 50% is black, yet we only represent 12 to 13%. So I would think that the big thing for someone to think about now would be to try to represent the interests of those people who are in prison in your own area.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, and family, near towards the end, we're going to give you some numbers as we approach, again, the end of our show. We're going to give you some numbers for you to be able to call. As was indicated, that's one of the things that you can do to help, and that is, you know, to make a phone call, send a couple of emails, and those of you who still do faxing, do that too. But certainly that's how we can support in the least of ways, and of course, in some of that is some of the most important ways, because if enough folks is doing it, then rest assured it does make a difference. Sister Lane, thank
absolutely.
You again, and again,
well,
we're here,
you,
so just let us know.
All right.
Give
all right,
thanks.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, family, we are coming to the next segment of our program for tonight. Our primary topic is the prison strike protest that took place, of course, in Atlanta this past week, or not just Atlanta, again, in GA, period. As Sister indicated, approximately 10 so-called correctional facilities were involved. And this particular situation has been looked at very closely, of course, by primarily activists and advocates for human rights and freedom fighters that deal with the issues of social justice and so forth. We're examining this very carefully and monitoring it very carefully as well. So you can be assured that here at New Day Resurrection Liberation, we will keep you updated on any events or any things that come about. We'll make sure that you are able to get that information as quickly and as readily as possible. If you have a comment or question, you can feel free to call into our live line as well. We're at 646-652-2232. Again, 646-652-2232. Want to remind you also that in about 10 minutes or so, we will be talking with Brother Richard Muhammad, who, of course, is the editor-in-chief at the Final Call. We talked to Brother Richard a little while ago, and he told us that there's going to be a coming up feature story in this week's Final Call. And we want to talk to Brother Richard about that and also put some kind of real clarity on why it is so important to have independent media, and especially black independent media and communications. Now, with that said, I want to remind everyone that New Day Resurrection and Liberation is one of the official broadcasts of the original Million Woman March, and now its movement. And starting in January, there's going to be, I believe, either two or three other weekly programs that will be coming your way. We are, in fact, combining some things with our sister station, Harambe Radio. So very shortly, we will also be able to bring to you live streaming TV, okay? We're going to be working with Harambe Radio, which is definitely one of the most progressive internet radio and TV services and communication network out there. I've been blessed to have been a member of Harambe Radio family for a few years now, and now, you know, I'm becoming even more involved. And so what is going to be happening soon, Harambe Radio will be releasing something called the Black Learning Channel. Brother Delani Ahmad, who, of course, is the founder and the visionary of Harambe Radio, I suspect he will be on our show, if not next week, the following week, to really give you some insight into what that's going to be about. But I can tell you that we'll be producing a few segments, and three of those segments at this point will include a reparations class for children. We call that Reparations 100. And there's going to also be, of course, a history segment. And, of course, I will be bringing the history of the Million Woman March. That, again, will be, this particular session will be geared to children, for children and young adults. And then also I will be producing a food preparation session for children and young adults. And the food preparation session, of course, will be dealing with live and holistic foods and so forth that children and young adults can make, okay? So those are just some of the things that's going to be coming up for Harambe TV, and specifically the Black Learning Channel. And so we invite those of you who may be interested in teaching a class or doing a presentation, we want you also to participate. We welcome you. And if you'd like more information, you can always contact us here at New Day Resurrection and Liberation. And, of course, you can reach us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. Of course, you can always go to haramberadio.com. And, again, you know, until Brother Delani is actually ready to put some of these pieces together, I will be helping to at least get some of the people who are interested, get you all scheduled, and, you know, the information that you need to get ready. Okay, so again, if you want more information about the Black Learning Channel that's coming to Harambe Radio and Harambe TV, You can give us, send us an email, nationalmwm@aol.com, and as soon as Brother Delani is ready to release what the guidelines and other information pieces are, we'll get all of that right to you. Okay, moving right along, what we want to do is review a little bit of what we've been talking about in terms of the demands that have been issued by the prisoners or the so-called inmates in the Georgia prisons who have, you know, took this bold stand in having a prison strike, for lack of a better word. What I prefer to call it is they just stood up for their rights, okay, stood up for their rights and decided no more. No more of violating them as people, as humans, as men, period. Okay, so the, again, the, let's see. Looks like, okay, here we are with the demands. We have decent health care. That's one of the demands. Another one is an end to cruel and unusual punishments. Next one is decent living conditions. The next one is nutritional meals. Next one is vocational and self-improvement opportunities. Next is access to families. And lastly, parole decisions that are just or justly. Okay, those are, again, some of the demands that will be discussed hopefully this week. And as we said earlier, we are going to make sure that you have upcoming information, okay? All right, so let's see. Moving right along, what we're going to do is go to another break, I think, and we're going to come back. And with that, we should have Brother Richard ready to talk with us about what's going to be coming on at the final call, or what's going to be coming in the next issue, rather, of the final call. Okay? So, we'll be right back. And that's right. As long as we continue to struggle, dare to win, everything will indeed be all right. My name is Empress Chi, and you are in tune to New Day, Resurrection, and Liberation. Again, we want to thank Sister Elaine Brown for, you know, providing that update and information for us. Tonight, of course, we're talking about the strike, the protest, the demand, and the standing up for justice, for so-called human rights, for certainly dignity. We salute our brothers and sisters who are in these prisons in the GA area and, of course, nationwide. And, you know, with that said, we again ask all of you to take your part, do your part. Now, as it was indicated earlier, we gave you the Facebook. I'm trying to find it again for you. In the meantime, while we're looking for that, what we're going to do is give you some of the telephone numbers of some of the prisons that you can contact. There are approximately 10. I think right about now we have maybe 6 for you. So please be so kind to write down this information. And we are expecting Brother Richard to call in very shortly. And then we're going to talk more about the importance of independent media. But again, for those of you who wish to call the prisons and let them know that you are watching this situation and that we are watching this situation, actually, here's a couple of telephone numbers for you. Again, this is Macon State Prison, numbers 978-472-3900. Again, that's the Macon State Prison, and that's, of course, in Georgia. Another one for you is the Telfair State Prison. That number is 229-868-7721. Again, Telfair, and it's T-E-L-F-A-I-R State Prison. Again, that number, 229-868-7721. And we'll give you one more for now, and we'll give you some more a little later on. This one is Valdosta State Prison, and that number is 229-333-7900. Again, Valdosta, and that's Valdosta State Prison. That number again is 229-333-7900. Again, call these prisons. Hopefully a little later on we'll have some fax numbers for you. As we said, we know people still using faxes, but call them. Let them know you are concerned. Let them know that we are watching. And, of course, as things proceed, we will keep you updated here at New Day, Resurrection, and Liberation. Moving right along, we're going to go to our next segment. And as we spoke with Sister Elaine earlier, of course, we talked about how the so-called mainstream media, you know, did a little blackout, or as we say, whiteout, whereby in many states, this that was going on in Georgia, no one knew anything about it. It's a real blessing to have access to independent media, certainly the social networks that we have access to, but in reality, we really only have a few really black independent newspapers. So with that said, we want to kind of, you know, point out tonight how important it really is that we continue to support, that we continue to engage in knowing about the black newspapers that we have amongst us, and really begin to understand how important it is that we do have them. So what we're going to do now is get ready to go to our live line again. And this time we're going to talk with Brother Richard Muhammad, of course, who is the editor-in-chief over at the Final Call. And look, I know y'all know about the Final Call. There's no way you could be in the black community and not know about the Final Call. So I don't have to say a whole lot more about that. But I will say that, as Sister Elaine mentioned, you know, Brother Rich has been extremely helpful in helping to facilitate information and other things that need to happen when this thing occurred and as it is still occurring. And there is a featured article that's coming up in the next edition of the Final Call. So what we want to do, because we encourage those of you who are writers already or who are preparing to be a writer. It's good that you hear sometimes those that are writing, and especially on a national level, the kinds of, you know, stories that they're producing and why, and, you know, get more familiar with that whole process. So what we're going to do now is go to our live line again, and joining us live is Brother Richard Muhammad, Editor-in-Chief at The Final Call. Brother Richard, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
All right,
greetings to you, my brother.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum, sister.
Wa alaikum assalam. All right, well, we got a hot show tonight, brother, and it's all good because we're putting out some powerful information. And, you know, as I said to Sister Elaine, what we like to do here at New Day is give it to our people directly from the sources. We don't like secondhand information. You know, it's too much of that. So we thank you for taking the time to join us tonight. And I know you probably have a paper you're getting ready to get out, so we're not going to hold you long. But tell us about, you know, most of us, if not all of us, know about The Final Call. So, you know, tell us in terms of this particular story, you know, what is it that you are going to kind of focus on at this particular time with the story?
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, thank you for having me on, and thank your listeners for tuning in. Actually, in the paper that's out now, we have an initial story about the prison strike in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
We will be having a follow-up story that will be coming out, inshallah, on Tuesday. On Wednesday, the paper will be out. I also did an editorial last week about this prison strike and calls for prison reform and really activity. I think the key thing for me is looking at this issue and having talked to the organizers of the coalition and watched what has started to happen around the country, this is really a story that has rang with black folks.
Mm-hmm.
The question, though, is when you read the story, through whose eyes do you see the story?
Mm-hmm.
So what I mean by that is, so if you pick up one of the daily white-owned newspapers, or if you tune into a white-owned news outlet, what perspective do they take? What elements of the story are important to them? What voices are important to them? And who are the experts according to them? And I think that what you will find, or hopefully what you find in The Final Call and another independent black media, is that you find voices that are important to us, voices that are relevant to us, voices that are experts to us, and voices that our community sees, or voices that our community can recognize as being genuine, authentic, and speaking to problems in a way that represents trying to make progress and resolve problems for our people. You can get information from any number of sources. The question is the information good, and does it speak to what is really happening with us and what's in our best interest?
Absolutely. I'm just going to digress for a moment, brother, because with you saying that, it just brings so much to mind, and we're going to have to get you back on in the very near future to really talk about this thing of independent media and black media, because what you just said just hit so many points. You know, I oftentimes when we have conversations like this, I think of Mumia and how in being a writer, you know, even today still, you know, writing in a certain kind of way, you know, and what you just said just, you know, clearly pointed that out again. But, you know, with that said, why do you feel or do you feel that some of our own newspapers today that we call independent do not seem necessarily to reflect, you know, what you just said, meaning the way it's reported? It's not reaching us in the way that at some point a lot of the newspapers did. But now today, in the so-called 21st century, what I'm finding as I travel and read some of the so-called black newspapers, it seems to have kind of weakened a little bit. Why do you think that has happened?
Well, I mean, I think part of it is perspectives. I think part of it is information, and part of it is financial pressures. Perspectives, for example, you know, very often when something happens in our community, one of the first questions that comes to my mind is, who did you call first?
Mm.
Did you call The Final Call first, or did you call somebody else first? Did you call us second after you didn't get what you thought you could get from these other people that have not shown that they are willing to really look at the truth and to examine the thing and to report on what's happened? Do you support these support these institutions? Do you support the Final Call? Do you support Blog Talk Radio programming like yours? Why? If you don't support it, then it makes it harder for that outlet to bring information to you. So some of our black newspapers find themselves in a very tough position where they're trying to stay in business, but they're not seeing the support necessary to do the type of reporting that they would like to do. Many of them are doing a very good job, others, of course, and we can all stand improvement. But I think part of it, one, is support. Two, is engagement. If your local black newspaper is not reporting what's happening in the neighborhood or in the community, then you should seek an editorial board meeting with the editors or the owners of the paper.
Mm.
Doesn't have to be a fight. Just sit down and start a conversation.
Sure.
And give actual facts. We saw it in this instance, this instance, this instance, this instance. Mm. It may have been that they did not even know that the event happened. It may have been that nobody even picked up the phone to call them because they were too busy calling the Philadelphia Inquirer
or
the Washington Post or the New York Times. So very often we have such a lack of respect for our home, you know. But I think that it starts there, and it starts with also, again, engagement, being active, letting the newspaper know, one, that you appreciate the voice, that it is important, and that you expect for it to do the job that the black press has always done, which is speak to our interests.
You know, Philly, and I know you're very familiar with some of the dynamics here in Philly, Brother Richard, but unfortunately Philly, and I've seen this in other cities as well, the political dynamics in Philly is very interesting in that when you have people, reporters, who kind of go against the grain or go that extra yard or whatever, a lot of times they will end up not being able to get assignments or, not even being able to get employed. Again, which is really what kind of happened with Mumia, being the top-notch journalist that he is, nevertheless, because he would write it in such a way that it was, you know, just so clear and so comprehensible, it ended up, you know, creating some problems. So what has happened, I think, in other cities as well, is that some of our writers, some of our reporters, and even those in higher positions have become a little reluctant because of the repercussions that have gone with, writing, even though you're supposed to be, you know, freedom of speech and you're under the Constitution and be able to do A, B, and C. The political thing in Philly is so crazy where they don't care about none of that. they will get fired or whatever.
You know, sister, there's an old saying that freedom of the press belongs to those who can control the press. This, I think, again, gets to what we do with our money and our influence and our power as black people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure you have some of the major white dailies in Philadelphia. And I'm sure if they write negatively about a black political figure, for example, that political figure doesn't ban them from press conferences. That political figure doesn't say we're never going to have a Philadelphia Inquirer at another meeting of ours. They never do. Why? Because there's a certain amount of respect and for the power of what that white institution represents. We have to make politicians respect the power of what independent publications represent. Because I'm sure even if there were fights with some political leaders between the average black newspaper, 9 times out of 10, that black paper has been much more favorable in its assessment of what the political figures are doing than these other people.
Sure.
But somehow or another, when it comes to the black press, many of our political leaders and others feel as though we shouldn't be independent, we should be in their pocket. We should not be in anybody's pocket.
Mm-hmm.
We should be always on the lookout for what is in the best interest of our people. And part of that is knowing and understanding how black political leaders are targeted, how they are targeted, how they are misrepresented, and how often when they try to do things for the community, other pressure comes on them. I guess what I'm saying is these leaders have to start to understand that a little bit of criticism isn't hatred.
Mm-hmm.
Truth only hurts the guilty, and if you hear truth and it's against you, what you need to do is to try to act in accord with truth. Now, what our people have to do is to support those writers. I mean, we're in a day now with you, for example, with this Blog Talk Radio, whole new media landscape.
That's right.
You don't have to really go through censors.
That's right.
But how much are we willing to put behind the final call? How much are we willing to put behind your radio program? How much are we willing to put behind other people who are out there that are pushing a very strong agenda for our people and giving out good, accurate, factual information? If you would rather spend your money with other people, then you will continue to get what you get. As the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, you can't spend 99% of your money with the white man and then blame him for 100% of your problems. At a certain point, we have to decide we're going to put our money, but not only our money, our phone calls, our emails, on the line so that these institutions know that they have support, and that writer knows that he or she has support. So if a writer, for example, who's done a good job starts to get pressure, it should immediately be a wave of support countering the pressure, saying, what's going on? We want to meet with y'all. We want to find out what's going on with y'all. And then the community should be able to say, this person has done a good job, and here's why. We want to know what your gripe is and prove to us why you're doing what you're doing. Otherwise, as you seek to punish this reporter, we're going to seek to punish you.
I know that's right. So it the bottom line really gets into it. It's up to us, you know, to become more organized and more vigilant about what we need to do and just do it.
Yeah, I mean, a brother was telling me he saw, and it's really a sad example, he saw a Russian TV program aired in the U.S. in English, and the reporter asked the woman, how many servicemen have died in Iraq and Afghanistan? And the woman was like, oh, I don't know why you're even asking me that. She asked the same woman, is Lindsay Lohan out of rehab? And they said, oh, yeah, Lindsay's out of rehab, and she's been out this long, and this was happening next. See, we have to look at media misdirection and how they really, this tactic, I would say, of pushing things that are irrelevant to the forefront. So we focus on the irrelevant things of what's happening with Beyonce, what's happening with Jay-Z, what's happening with,
right,
with P. Diddy, what's happening with Nicki Minaj. We can say all of that. And we know all of that, man, inside out. We can run it down a little way, and is he out yet? And then what's happening with him and his daddy? And, you know, all of this we know.
Yes.
But so much that is going on and impacting us on a daily basis, we don't know. We're oblivious to. So we have to, as media makers and those who are trying to inform the people, we have to continue to fight for their minds by giving the best possible product that we can. You know, I'm very blessed to have the mighty brothers of the Fruit of Islam who take the paper everywhere, rain, snow, hail, earthquake, every week they take it to our people. It's
That's
really
right.
A wonderful force to have and a very committed force to have. So, in other words, we have to have some commitment behind what we say we want to make happen, and the stronger we become, the more we can do things to entice our young people and our old people. You know, because the young people ain't the only one that's involved in foolish things now.
That's right, no doubt.
So
and
if we can encourage our people to get involved and to get informed.
And, brother, you know, I think I would be remiss if I didn't add that, you know, the diversity that you find in the final call, you know, I think this is the kind of example that we do have to show our youth that are coming up. And also those that are already in the so-called journalistic field or freelance writing field, you know, that we can be very diverse. We can be very, you know, factual. But, again, it's really about the perspective. And this has kind of been the argument about, you know, whether one's being subjective or objective and, you know, how to keep your journalistic focus without becoming too personal. And I think in this day and age, and, of course, with the writers that I've seen in the final call, that balance is there. And I just think it shows an excellent example of being able to, as we say, speak truth to power.
Well, sister, I certainly am, and thank you for the encouragement. We'll continue to try to do what we do, and we'll continue to try to get better and better. And we really see ourselves as Black America's only national Black-owned weekly distributed newspaper. We also do an edition in the UK now. So I'm glad that you see that kind of diversity of thought and those voices on our pages, because that's very important, even though the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan founded the Final Call over 30 years ago. his vision has always been, not that we would only speak for the Nation of Islam in a small sense, but that we would speak to the issues that are important to black people regardless to what they call themselves. And
that's
what we try to do because, I mean, there's so many things going on and there's such a need for good information. And as far as the objectivity, the subjectivity, it's very interesting to me that if you watch, for example, you watch CNN and you watch these other people, ABC News, watch how they talk about the war. They talk about our war effort when they're talking about Afghanistan and Iran. In other words, they identify with the policies of the U.S. government. They very rarely challenge those policies. As a matter of fact, a couple years ago, there was a whole big scandal, if you will, at the New York Times because of their misreporting about the war.
That's right. I remember.
We did. There was a report that came out a couple years ago that talked about something out of like 900 different lies and stories that were told. Part of the reason why the country is in this mess is because the mainstream media was and is afraid to challenge governmental policy, which is its role as a fourth estate for this country. Mm-hmm. So when these people talk about subjectivity and getting too close to it means nothing to me because when I look at their own product condemns what they're saying out of their mouths. And we as black folks should not be confused by that. We should be seeking truth, seeking to tell the truth.
Wow. Well, my brother, again, I thank you for sharing this with us, and I'm going to have to make sure we get you back on the show where we can just, you know, talk about this whole area of black folks, media, communications, and what we need to do in the 21st century to just, you know, step it up, improve it, and stabilize it, because, again, we're in certain areas, while we're growing, especially electronically and so forth, because, family, I had to remind you, for those who do not know, of course, you can see Final Call online, okay? So before we end this chapter out tonight, we're going to make sure you get that information because the Final Call is also online, and for those of you who may not be able to get it readily available in the community, you can certainly see it online and also get a subscription online, okay? But, you know, what I'm saying, my brother, is we got to get you back so that we have ample time to really explore some of this and also help to edify you know, our people, because we have a lot of folks listening to our program now, Brother Richard. I'm shocked every week when I start seeing the numbers. So we're reaching a vast amount of folk, and the information that we're providing is just, you know, fantastic because we have such great folk calling in and just giving it all up, you know, and it's a beautiful thing. So, again, we thank you for calling in. And I want to add, family, that Minister Farrakhan has extended to me to be a contributing writer for the Final Call. I've been holding off because I really want to do more research, especially on the area of black women and girls and the issue of violence and abuse. So I've kind of waited until I had just some more statistics and other kinds of things to make the articles really have the kind of impact and importance that it needs to have. So, Brother Richard, I just want you to know it's coming.
Yes, I've been waiting for you.
I know you have. I know you have. But, again, you know, when it come, you know, because you're such a top-notch list and I can't make it anything less. So, you know, that's what it has to be. But, Brother, thank you again. Let our family know where they can find you online.
Well, thank you so much. You can get us at finalcall.com. Again, that's finalcall.com. You can also see Richard Muhammad on Facebook, and you can see the Final Call newspaper on Facebook as well. Why don't you join us and be a friend, because we think this sister we're talking to is certainly a friend to us and a friend to our people.
No doubt. All right, my brother, give thanks. And again, family, this week coming, there will be a feature article on the topic that we've been talking about for tonight, which, of course, is the strike, the protest that has been taking place in Georgia as pertains to our brothers and in some cases sisters against this injustice that is taking place primarily on our people. So, again, we want to thank Brother Rich Muhammad, the editor-in-chief at the Final Call, and our brother, period. Brother, you got to come back soon.
Sister, whenever you invite me, I pray Allah I'll be ready. But thank you so much for having me. We appreciate it.
Indeed, indeed. Give thanks. All right, family, we're going to get ready to close this segment out tonight. And again, we've just been talking with Brother Richard Muhammad, editor-in-chief at the Final Call newspaper. You can, of course, visit online, as he indicated, also on Facebook. I didn't even know that. So, you know, I'm glad to hear that. But everybody's going on Facebook, so, you know, I'm not really surprised. I want you to know that very soon we'll have some very special announcements coming for the Million Women March and its movement. So I believe on December the 26th, the first day of Kwanzaa, you will be getting some new updates, and certainly come next year, lots and lots of information. We want to thank all of you again for tuning in, and certainly I want to remind you that you have to do your part. And we're going to give out a few more of those numbers for the prisons that you could call and let them know that you're watching, that we're watching. And, you know, let them know that they need to do something more. And we're not talking about what they've been doing either. Okay, let's go with Haynes State Prison. That's H-A-Y-S State Prison. That number is 706-857-0400. Again, Haynes State Prison. That's H-A-Y-S State Prison. Another one is Baldwin State Prison. Okay, that's Baldwin State Prison. And that's at 478-445-5218. Again, Baldwin State Prison. Another one is Smith State Prison. Smith State Prison. And that number is 912-654-5000. Again, Smith State Prison. 654-5000. And let's see, the actual Georgia Department of Corrections number, that number is area code 478-992-5246. Now, if you need these numbers, again, the names of these places and numbers again, please feel free to contact us at nationalmwm@aol.com, and we will forward this information to you via email. If you have any other comments or questions that you want to raise after the show, and if it's possible, we can get some answers for you from our brother and sister that were on tonight, Sister Elaine Brown, and, of course, Brother Richard Muhammad. If something comes to mind and the question comes up, feel free to send it to us. If we can get you an answer, we'll get you an answer. Certainly, we're going to have them both back on in the very near future. But in the meantime, what we need to say again is continue to follow this story. Continue to pay attention to what is going on. This is a very critical and a very interesting situation. Rest assured. Most of what you've heard from prisons in terms of rejecting, you know, the so-called powers that be has always had some other kind of spin to it. So we have to be very careful to watch what people are doing, okay, because it's already clear that this is a nonviolent effort to raise the issue and the awareness of human rights violations, etc., and to try to obtain some kind of decency, some level of decency, which is, I mean, you know, we're not talking, this is just basic fundamental thing here that we're talking about. So, again, please pay close attention to what's going on and do something. As Sister Elaine suggested, contact them black people, those so-called elected officials, even if they're not in Georgia. The Congressional Black Caucus is a, you know, whole kind of coalition of sorts. Contact them all. That, you know, for real, because certainly the brothers and sisters that are inside those prisons are, I'm sure, from all over the country. Okay, so contact them as a coalition or as a group of black folks. They still have some kind of responsibility. So we need to know, what are they talking about or thinking about or trying to do? If anything, we need to know that. So contact them and ask them what they're doing. And again, certainly any of the black state legislators, any of the, of course, congressional folks, senatorial folks, contact them. Next show, we'll have their names and numbers for you, okay? So we're going to close out our segment for tonight. And again, we thank all of you for tuning in. We will be back next Saturday unless something comes up during the week that we feel we need to report to you about. If that happens, we'll definitely let you know, because we are able to get a broadcast through usually whenever need be. But again, our regular broadcast is, of course, Saturday, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, for those of you who cannot hear the live broadcast, certainly all you need to do is go to the archives, and at any time you can hear any of the shows that we air. And again, we thank all of you. I think that's going to be it for tonight. I think we've covered some very, very good information, and we are prayerfully going to continue to do so. At any rate, until Saturday, or later on in this week, we're going to leave you with the thoughts that we have begun to embrace here at the MWM Universal Movement, and that, of course, is as we strive for liberation, as we strive to obtain justice, we realize that in order for there to be peace, of course, there must be Ma'at, for there can be no Hotep without Ma'at. There can be no peace without justice. And with that said, as we strive forward and move, and again, we say move because the MW movement is about that. It is, in fact, about moving forward, making a difference, and making certain that it is irrevocable. So what we're going to do, we're going to move forward in the spirit of power, prosperity, and peace, what we call P to the third power, because we're doing this in a very scientific kind of way. If you're interested in becoming more involved in the Universal Million Woman Movement, we certainly invite all of you to do so. And, I mean, we have something pretty much for everyone, that is, everyone of African descent. And we certainly welcome you to, you know, to join us again in some way, shape, fashion, or form. Our number is area code 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802. Or you can send us an email at nationalmwm@aol.com or officialmwm@yahoo.com. Come 2011, there will be two major activities that the Million Woman Movement will be bringing forward. Also, I am now available for book signings, lectures, workshops, and so forth, especially starting in February for Black History Month, and March for Women's History Month. I'll be traveling nationwide doing a national tour. And again, that national tour will be to make certain that our chapters are now established in the way that they should. We'll be ready to bring out our book now, The 100 Amazing Facts. It's actually not a book, it's a kind of like a pamphlet. 100 Amazing Facts About the Million Woman March, Part 1. And also, we are getting ready to train our new coordinators for what we're getting ready to do for 2011 through 2014, which is a part of our five-year action plan. Lastly, at our next show, I'll be able to give you an update on what's going on in Senegal. Of course, there's the International Black Arts Festival, which I'm supposed to be at right now. However, my paper will be there. As it says, stuff happens. But I was, in fact, invited to attend, and what can I say? It just didn't work out the way we had hoped. But the paper that I wanted submitted for the conference piece will be there and distributed. We're very thankful for that, because that was very important to get our sister's position placed into that arena. And that, of course, is happening. So we'll give you a report or an update on what's going on with that on Saturday, this coming Saturday, which, of course, will be our regular programming. And what we'll do is, at that point, we will also give you an update of what's going on with the prison situation in Georgia, okay, the protest strike. So until then, again, we will leave you with that concept of Ma'at Hotep, and feel free to contact us. Again, much love, much respect. Tutanana.